name is Beverly. For those of you who don't know me, I'm what's known in the biz here as a PM, preacher's mom. Instead of a pre-K, I'm a pre-M. So you don't know what you're going to get today, right? Just like we don't know what those preacher's kids, you know, they're the worst, they say. So ours are pretty good, though. Our preacher's kids are pretty good. So I want to pray and just get right into the Word of God. How many of y'all are ready for the Word of God today? Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you for your presence in this place today, God. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for the anointing that's upon the Word of God. And you said it's the anointing upon the Word that breaks the yoke of bondage. So, God, I expect bondages to be broken in this place today, God. I expect people to be set free from their past and set free from wounds, Father. And we just ask you for it today, and we thank you for it. I ask you to anoint the ears of the listeners, that they'll hear what you want them to hear, God. Let every heart be touched and changed by your word today, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, several weeks ago, most of you, if some of you were here, some of you probably weren't, I spoke on the purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I shared a little bit about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I didn't share a lot, and I'm not going to share on that today either. But what I did want to encourage you to do, go to your Bible, read the Word of God, get into 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. It's kind of an overview of what we're called to walk in as believers. It's kind of an overview of the gifts in operation in the Spirit-filled believers' lives. Listen, I'm always going to talk about the Spirit because it's the Spirit that's active and operative in the earth. You know, God's on the throne. Jesus is at his right hand. It's the Holy Spirit that's active and operative in our lives. And I love the Holy Spirit. I love the moving of the Holy Spirit. I love his presence. And we're not going to talk about the purpose and power today. But what I do want to talk about is about the fruit of the Spirit. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit is not just about power. He is about power, but not power only. He's not just about the gifts being in operation. The Holy Spirit also cares whether or not we allow the character of Christ to be developed in our lives. He cares about whether or not God cares about how we live our lives. He cares about the kinds of decisions that we make. How many know what I'm talking about? God cares about our character, and that's really what the fruit is. The fruit is the character and nature of Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is the character and nature of Jesus Christ, and it's that fruit that causes us to look more like God. It's that fruit that causes us to be able to love the way he loves. It's the fruit that causes us to rightly represent him. How many know we, as believers, as sons and daughters of God, we are called to rightly represent God, to rightly represent Jesus to the people we come in contact with, not just in the inside of these four walls, but everywhere we go, whatever we do, we are called to rightly represent God. And that is what the Holy Spirit, as we allow him to come and develop that fruit, that's what the fruit is. It's a right representation of who Christ is. And as we develop that fruit, it's evidence that we're maturing in the things of God. It's evidence, it's long-term evidence that the Holy Spirit is with us and operating in our lives. Listen, and I've seen it. I've seen it in ministries. I've been in Spirit-filled circles for 40 years. I got saved in 1979, November. I'm coming up on my 40th birthday in the Lord. And I've been around. I've seen it all, so to speak. And, you know, you can see, you can operate mightily in the gifts. You can see the dead raised. There are ministries alive and well today that have seen the dead raised. You can see sickness healed and all of that. But let me tell you something. And all of that's awesome. But if you don't have integrity, come on, somebody. If you don't have integrity, if you don't know how to rightly represent the king, you know, we are part of a kingdom. If we don't know how to rightly represent him, we're going to miss the mark. And God doesn't want us to miss the mark. How many know what I'm talking about? God does not want us to miss the mark. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, that love that it's talking about there, it's not talking about that ooey-gooey love between man and woman. It's talking about God's perfect love. Can we take that off the screen for right now? God's perfect love that the Bible says it casts out all fear. Joy. Joy, people think joy and happiness are the same thing. They're not. Happiness has to do with our circumstances. All is well, so we're happy. As soon as something happens, we're sad. We're no longer happy. But joy is a deep down sense of well-being that has absolutely nothing to do with our circumstances and everything to do with the spiritual reality that we are sons and daughters of God and that all is well between us and God. Peace. Peace means to be whole. It means to be complete. It means to have mental stability. How many know God wants us to be mentally stable? It means to have mental stability. Patience is the ability to wait on God. There, I had a friend. I used to say, oh, God, give me patience. We used to work together. I'd be like, oh, God, give me patience. And he'd say, why? Are you going to be a doctor? And that's not the kind of patience we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of patience that enables us to know if God spoke a word to you, God made a promise to you, you can wait on God for the fulfillment of it. It's the ability to wait on God. Patience enables us to run the race and finish strong, finish well. Kindness is synonymous with mercy, favor, compassion. Goodness relates directly to our morality. Faithfulness is to have your heels dug in, so to speak, to be determined, to be fully persuaded that God is who he says he is. He's going to do what he said he would do. Faithfulness also has to do with whether or not we do the right thing, even if no one's looking. Even if there's nobody that could find out if we did something wrong, but we do the right thing anyway, that's faithfulness toward God. Self-control, gentleness, first of all, gentleness. Gentleness means to have a humble heart and to submit wholly and completely to God's plan. Gentleness is humility towards God. Humility towards God. Self-control, just what it says, being able to control yourself. Controlling your emotions, your actions, your desires, your words, the words that you allow to come out of your mouth, being able to control yourself. That's what self-control is. The ability to tell yourself no whenever you're faced with a decision to make or faced with whether you do or whether you don't, the ability to tell yourself no and to mean it. Listen, we have a tendency to think, you know what? My mom was this way. My dad was this way. And I'm going to be this way too. I was born this way and that's all there is to it. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Because the word of God says if we're in Christ, we're no longer under the curse. We're not under a curse anymore. We don't have to live like we're under a curse. As believers, we have to draw the line. As believers, we have to allow, and I say allow because the Holy Spirit is not going to force himself on you. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and begin to bring that transformation that we desperately need. We have to allow him to come in and begin to develop God's character in us. How many know the Holy Spirit wants to see his people grow up? Come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit wants to see his people grow up in some areas. But let me tell you something about the fruit. Normally, we don't just wake up the day after we get saved and we've got all kinds of big, beautiful, luscious fruit hanging off of our branches. Normally, it doesn't work that way. This is the part of our walk with God that it takes time to develop. And that's why sometimes we have to extend grace to ourselves. We have to extend grace to each other because this is the part of our walk with God that it's a process to develop that fruit. And it takes time to develop that fruit. I mean, just like if somebody gave you an apple seed and said, go out and plant this apple seed, you wouldn't go plant an apple seed one day and then go out there the next day and expect a mature tree with fruit hanging off its branches. It doesn't work that way. That seed has to receive the necessary nourishment from the soil. It has to get the sunshine. It has to get the rain. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? And it's the same way in our walk with God. Having that fruit developed is the part of our walk that no matter how long we've been saved, We have to continue to choose daily, daily somebody to let the Holy Spirit move in our lives. We choose every day. God, okay, here comes a situation. God, am I going to let this situation that's happening right now in my life, am I going to let it reveal the fruit, or am I going to let it expose the flesh? And that's the question God wants to ask us this morning. Are we going to let those things that we're surrounded by, those circumstances of our lives, are we going to let it reveal the fruit that's developed, however mature or you know, however, whatever size your fruit is, however much fruit you've developed, are we going to let it reveal the fruit, or are we going to let it expose the flesh? And I want you to think about that this morning. Because we choose every single day. Joshua 24 says, choose you this day. You could say, choose you today. And then the next day, choose you today. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, God has given us the freedom. He's given us the power. He's given us the ability to choose day by day whether or not we're going to live by the Spirit or we're going to serve the flesh. Or live by the flesh. Listen, you know what? This may be a message where you're not jumping up and down, but if you hear something you like, feel free to shout amen. Because that's the kind of church we're in. But you know what? I'm just going to move on. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. You can put that up there now. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 25. It says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature or the flesh. Some translations say the flesh. But you know what? God began to show me about this. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the lust of the flesh. He doesn't say, I want you to not gratify the lust of the flesh or the sinful nature or the carnal nature or the flesh, however it's worded. I want you to not gratify that so that you can live by the Spirit. He doesn't say that. He says, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the lust of the flesh. He doesn't want our focus on what not to do. He wants our focus on living by the Spirit. He wants our focus on Him, because whatever you focus on, whatever your eyes are fixed on, whatever you look upon, that's what you're going to gravitate toward. That's what you're going to walk toward. So as we have our eyes fixed upon living by the Spirit, that's what we're going to do. We're going to live by the Spirit. We're not going to satisfy the lust of the flesh. Let's look at verse 17. It says, for the sinful nature, or the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. The Spirit and the flesh, this constant battle, butting heads continuously inside your heart. How many know what I'm talking about? That this constant battle between flesh and Spirit. It says they are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. So we've got this battle going on. You know, you've seen those cartoons or you've seen pictures where, you know, there's some guy trying to make a decision. He's got an angel on one shoulder trying to lead him. He's got a devil on this shoulder, you know, trying to get him to go in that direction. And that's sometimes what our lives are like. It's that constant conflict between flesh and Spirit. Let's look at verse 19. It says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. You know what? God began to speak to me just this week about that. You know, there are so many people in the church, out of the church, I don't know, but so many people that are like, well, I didn't know. I didn't know it was wrong. I didn't know it was a sin to do that. I didn't know I shouldn't do it. It says right here in the Bible, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. When we're sinning, we know we're sinning. And then it goes on to say, sexual immorality, sex outside of your marriage, it's that simple. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery. That's like an absence of restraint or just like lawlessness, like where the people are just unrestrained. Idolatry is serving anything that you put anything above God. It could be leisure time. It could be your kids. It could be sports. It could be yourself. Anything you put above God. And then it's and then witchcraft. Witchcraft includes drug abuse. Witchcraft includes having your palm read. It includes going to a tarot card reader. It includes going to any kind of medium for seeking advice about your future. That's witchcraft, church. It's witchcraft. It is an act of the sinful nature. Then we've got hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me just clarify, I didn't say that. The Bible said that. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is anything Jesus died on the cross to give us. It includes salvation, healing. It includes our protection. It includes our provision. It includes the ability or the authority to walk in the authority of Christ, the empowerment to do that. But how many know God always has a better way? And that's what I feel like that this next verse, verse 22, says, but that's God saying, "What I have a better way. I have a better way for you to live. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires." Somebody needs to get that. Those who belong to Christ Jesus. Do you belong to Christ in here today? Does anybody belong to Christ? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their sinful nature. It's already been done. It's not gonna get crucified whenever you get all your little ducks lined up in a row and everything is perfect and you don't ever make any more mistakes. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their sinful nature with its passions and desires. See, our sin, listen to me. When I think about some of this, I get excited. Do we need to stand up and stretch? What do we need to do? What do we need to do in here? Listen to me. Our sin has been nailed to the cross. Our sin has already been nailed to the cross with Jesus. And listen, that's why we need to stop being sin-minded and start being spirit-minded. Because whatever we set our mind on, whatever we set our thoughts on, whatever we set our focus on, that's what we're going to walk to. Colossians 2 tells us another scripture, the sinful nature has been crucified. The sinful nature has been crucified, and we have been made alive with Christ. You know what that means? That means our debt has been canceled. That means everything that stood opposed to us has been taken away and nailed to the cross. Our sinful nature has been crucified. Am I the only one that's excited about that? The sinful nature has been crucified. It's been nailed to the cross. But you know what I've discovered in this 40 years that I've walked with God? It's not always, living by the Spirit is not always easy, is it? Living by the Spirit is easier said than done. You know, when everything's going great in our lives, when we've, you know, our marriages are strong or our finances are in order and everybody loves us and everybody thinks we're wonderful. It's easy to have the fruit then. But what about when it's not? What about when those you love don't love you back? What about when you're slandered or falsely accused or rejected by somebody or hurt by somebody? What about then? Are we able to let our lives bear fruit then? See, this is what true Christianity is. Are we able to bear fruit when life doesn't go our way. See, some people think, and I may have been among them at one point in my life, I don't know. But some people think, well, I shouldn't be expected to develop fruit. You don't know, how can I develop fruit in my life? You don't know some of the horrible things I've done. You don't know some of the horrible things that have been done to me. How can I be expected? You don't know the pain I've gone through. You don't know how rejected I am. You don't know this. You don't know that. And we think, I have a right to feel the way I feel. I have a right to think the way I think. I have a right to be bitter. Look what they did to me. And we develop this mindset. I want to tell you something. My life, personally, has not always looked the way it looks now. And I say look because you know what? Looks can be deceiving, can't they? But my life has not always even been the way it is now. I had to learn as a baby Christian to forgive. I had to learn as a baby Christian to let that fruit be developed so that I could walk in a place of forgiveness toward those that had hurt me. I had to learn as a baby. As a young girl, I was sexually abused for a period of time. I can't even tell you now how long it was. All I know is I spent, help me get through this, God. Give me just a second. And you know, the tears don't mean I'm not healed, because I am. I believe I am. It's just not something I've ever really shared publicly. But I felt compelled to do that today. But I spent years, what seemed to be years, just living in fear. Always sick at my stomach. I missed a lot of school as a kid. Always sick. My stomach hurt all the time. And always living in fear of, is today another day? Is today another day that I'm going to be approached? Is today another day that it's going to happen? Is it going to happen again today? And I spent those years living in fear, and I was told things like, you can't tell. Because they're not going to believe you. They're going to believe me. And you're going to be the one that gets in trouble. It's all your fault. You're going to be the one that gets blamed for everything. And you know what? As that little girl, I believed it. I believed every lie. I believed every word that was spoken to me. Every single word. And I believed it was all my fault. I believed I was dirty. I believed I was unfit. I believed I was worthless, and I carried so much shame and so much guilt and was under so much condemnation because of that type of things happening in my life. And, you know, at some point the abuse stopped, but the memory of it lingered. How many know what I'm talking about? At some point the abuse stopped, but the woundedness, the brokenness, was there. And I carried that sense of worthlessness. I carried all those thoughts of feeling dirty and unwanted and this and that. I carried all of that stuff into my teenage years and into my young adult life. And by the time I was 15, I was a pothead. I did nothing. I mean, I'm not trying to like magnify it. Please don't misunderstand me, but I smoked so much dope in those early years as a teenager. Back in the day, we had shorthand. How many remember taking shorthand when you were in high school? And I could literally do shorthand quicker and better if I was stoned than I could if I was straight. And the reason was because I had so much of it in my system all the time. How many know what I'm talking about? And so that was the kind of life that I lived. I abused alcohol like there was no tomorrow, going from party to party, thinking I was living the high life, living the fun life, when in reality, all I was doing was trying to mask the pain. As a freshman in high school, before leaving for school one day, I took a bunch of my parents' prescription drugs. They lined the kitchen windowsill. Back then, you didn't lock your pills away. You just, you know, and they were all lining the kitchen windowsill. And I just went in there and just handfuls. I just went down the row. Handfuls of aspirin, Tylenol, muscle relaxers, blood pressure pills. I don't even know what all prescriptions they were on. I just know I took it all. I spent the whole day that day in school in the bathroom just throwing my guts up. Listen, I told you this wasn't pretty. Throwing my guts up. And I did not do that, to my knowledge. I did not do that with the intention of taking my life. But that is exactly what would have happened had God not intervened. That is exactly what would have happened. And you know what amazes me about that? And what I get excited about? So excuse me while I shout that God has delivered me and set me free. I didn't even know him then. I did not know him when I was a freshman in high school laying on that bathroom floor. I didn't know him, but he knew me. He knew me. And he knew he had a plan. And he knew he had a purpose. He knew me. 2 weeks after I graduated, you know, you would think, you know, God saved your life. Well, at the time, I didn't give God credit for that. I didn't know God. I just know it took another day or two to kind of sleep it off. I missed the next couple days of school. And 2 weeks after I graduated high school, I married a Muslim from Iran. 6 months into that marriage, he became physically abusive. The first time he hit me was over a bag of marijuana. I wanted some to share with a neighbor, and he didn't want me to have it. That's the road I was on. But God. Amen? That's the road I was on. I can't even describe to you how broken I was. I can't describe to you how full of anger and hurt and distrust and all of these things that I was. And you know, that brokenness and that anger and that hurt and that distrust, it touched every area and every relationship of my life. Because I didn't trust anybody. I didn't trust my abusers. I didn't trust my dad because I was told he knew and didn't do anything about it. That I found out years later was a lie. So just, I was broken. So the night I got saved, when I was 19, almost 20, I ran to the arms of Jesus. I didn't sit on the back row and say, listen, now don't get mad at me because I can only tell you my experience. But I didn't sit on the back row and say, well, I'm not going to go down front because they're going to think I'm a sinner. You know what? I was a sinner. And even if none of this stuff had happened to me, I still would have been a sinner. So I'm not blaming my whole life or those early years of my life. I'm not blaming everything on the abuse, but I do know that it changed the person I became or the person I was supposed to become. I became a different person. But you know what? When I gave my life to Jesus, I didn't care what anybody thought. I didn't care what anybody thought. I didn't care if somebody was talking or, you know, which they weren't, but I wouldn't have cared if they did. You know what I cared about? I cared that I had found a Savior who loved me. And he loved me in spite of everything. In spite of everything, he loved me before I even knew him. And I want to tell you something. That night, I never touched another drop of alcohol for over 30 years. After that night, I was radically changed and transformed by the power of God. So time passes. I get delivered from my first marriage, which is code word for I got a divorce. I begin to get some of the healing that I needed. Sid and I, not all, but some. Sid and I meet in church. We get married. And to be honest with you, I carried so much baggage into our marriage. it's a miracle we made it beyond the fourth or fifth year. I'm just telling it like it is today, folks. If not for knowing that God had put us together and that God had a plan and a purpose for us as a team, as a husband and wife, we never would have made it. And even in more recent years, we've had devastating things happen to us, for everything from broken relationships to financial situations that we didn't know or see any way out of except God's hand moving in our lives. So let me tell you something. I've had my share of painful, traumatic experiences, and I've had my share where it looked like in the natural I wasn't going to make it. I could have turned my back on God at any one of those places in my life. I could have turned my back on God. But by His grace, I chose Him. By His grace, I'm not patting myself on the back. By His grace, I chose Him. And I don't tell you that so that you'll think, oh, wow, you know, wow, that's really awesome. I tell you that because I want you to see that it's possible. When all hell is breaking loose in your life, choose God. Choose Him. When you think your life is over, choose God. When you're broken and you're forgotten and you're lonely and you're beat up, choose God. In every situation, in every circumstance. Why? Why? We want to choose. You need to choose to forgive. You need to choose love. You need to choose joy. You need to choose peace. You need to choose faithfulness, because He is all those things. Jesus is all those things. So when you choose to put on the forgiveness, you choose to put on the fruit. I'm bringing this back around to the fruit of the Spirit, folks. When we choose to put on the fruit, we are choosing to be a channel, to be an instrument for the presence of God to flow through. Because every single day we make the choice, am I going to serve God today? Am I going to serve the enemy today? Or am I going to serve myself today? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Because whether we realize it or not, our actions and our reactions matter. Our actions and our reactions will affect the direction that you go. It will affect your future. The words that you allow to come out of your mouth will affect your future. Because everything you say and do has an action or a reaction attached to it that comes along right behind it. So we have to decide, are we going to choose the flesh? Are we going to let the flesh be revealed? Or are we going to let the fruit be revealed? Or are we going to let the flesh be exposed? We have to make that decision. We have to decide, what do we want to set into motion in our lives? What do we want to set into motion in our lives? Fruit revealed or flesh exposed? Did I always succeed? H-E-double-L, no. No, I did not always succeed. Over the years, I have failed many times. I have failed God, I have failed myself, and I have failed those around me many times over the years. But the one thing I never did was I never quit. I never turned my back on God. I never gave up. I always pressed in for more of God's presence, because here's what we got to understand. Ultimately, it's through those tough times that fruit is developed. It's, you know, when an olive is, you want to get oil out of an olive, you know what they do? They press it. They press it. And that olive, really the oil that comes out of that olive can be akin to developing that fruit. in our lives. So it's the same way with us. When we get pressed, when that pressure is applied, it's either going to reveal fruit or it's going to expose flesh. Are y'all with me? So we have to trust God that He's causing everything to work for our good. One of my favorite scriptures, because I've seen it in my life. He causes everything to work together for good. You know what? The enemy wanted that abuse that I went through as a little girl. The enemy wanted that abuse to destroy me. He wanted that physical abuse I went through as a young woman in my first marriage. He wanted that to destroy me. But God said, no. God said, I'm going to take all of these things and I'm going to weave them together. And I'm going to cause them to work together for my daughter's good. Amen. I'm going to cause them to work together for my daughter's good. And you know what? He will do that in your life. He will do that in your life. I want us to look. He'll do it every time if you stay connected. If you stay connected to the vine, He will do it every single time. I want us to look at John, and it's kind of dark, so I hope I can read this. I guess I could read it off of here. John 15, verses 1 through 8. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Do y'all hear me? No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, listen to this, because we think we got our lives all figured out, don't we? Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory. I love that. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Why? So that we can show ourselves to be His disciples. This is to my Father's glory that you bear. Listen, I still have to remind myself in my own head and in my own mind that Galatians says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Listen, let me tell you something. My early years as a Christian, it wasn't easy to crucify the flesh. I wanted to see some people suffer. I wanted to see some people pay for what they did. That's what my flesh wanted. But my spirit, see, it's a different thing. The Holy Spirit in us, this is why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives, guys. Because the Holy Spirit in us gives us the power to forgive. The Holy Spirit in us gives us the power to let that fruit be revealed. My mind told me that I was not good enough. My mind told me that I would never measure up. I would never measure up. My mind told me I deserved it. But my spirit told me God loved me. My spirit told me that God had a plan and a purpose for my life. My spirit told me that I was fearfully and wonderfully made by the hands of God Himself into His image. So I say, live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. You know what? Yeah. God told me all those things even though I failed. Because you know what? Our failure doesn't negate the plan of God. Our failure does not negate the plan of God for our lives. Somebody needs to grab a hold of that today. So I say, live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Listen, I don't care what's happened to you in your life. The acts of the sinful nature have no place in the life of the believer. No place in the life of the believer. And I want to tell you something. It's not a big, long list of don'ts. Don't do this. Don't say that. Don't go here. Don't think this. Don't watch this. Don't. It's not a big, long list of don'ts. That's religion. We don't want that. We're getting delivered from religion at Red Life Church. Amen? We don't want that. But you know what it's about? It's about surrender to the Holy Spirit. It's about surrendering to God. It's about your the relationship with the Holy Spirit that allows him to come into your life, baptizing you with power, allowing the fruit to be developed in your life, regardless of your past, current, or future circumstances. That's what it's about. Allowing God in our life. And listen, I know death to flesh is not a very popular subject because we all want it. We're selfish. We want it. We want it now. But whether it's popular or not, it's necessary. And I still remember the day the Holy Spirit set me straight. When God first spoke this to me years ago, I was 26 years old. I still remember my age. He spoke this to me years ago. I didn't even think of it as a rebuke or a correction. Because, you know why? Because it was done. It was such loving kindness and loving tenderness from the Holy Spirit. But he said to me, I was crying out to God because of one of my many failures. And he didn't come and say, oh, poor Beth. You poor, sweet, precious little thing. He didn't say that. You know what he said? He said, you can no longer use your past as an excuse for who you are today. And then he said, 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I was no longer that abused little girl. I was no longer that young woman in that abusive marriage. She no longer lived. And I had to stop seeing myself as that. And I had to start seeing myself the way God saw me. And I had to stop seeing myself as a victim, and I had to start seeing myself as the victor that God had created me to be. And you know what? Some of you sitting here need to do the same thing. You need to do the same thing. When we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and we do things God's way, there is a blessing that comes with that. There is healing and restoration and redemption that comes to doing things God's way. But if we choose to live life our own way and just do whatever we want to do without any regard for what the Holy Spirit says, which is really rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft, the word says, then there are consequences that come with that. What would you rather have? Would you rather have blessing? Or would you rather have consequences? I prefer the blessing. Surrender and obedience, which reveals fruit, reaps blessing. Rebellion, which is of the flesh and of the sinful nature, reaps consequences. As we allow the fruit of the Spirit to be developed in our lives, it begins to produce a powerful harvest. We talked a little bit about this harvest in prayer this morning, actually. It just dawned on me that's what that is the harvest. It produces a powerful harvest in our life if we stay connected to the vine. If we stay connected, the fruit of the Spirit will empower and enable us to run the race that God has set before us. It will empower us to run it well and to finish strong. And at this point in my life, that's my prayer. God, I want to finish strong. The fruit of the Spirit, because it's the character of Christ, it becomes the foundation upon which our ministries, our callings, and our giftings should be built. The fruit of the Spirit becomes the foundation so that everything we do in love. If we have to bring correction, we correct in love. If all hell breaks loose against our lives, we can walk through that in peace. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? We need to understand that what we feed, I need two more minutes. What we feed is what's going to grow. And if all we do is feed our flesh and our carnal nature, then that's what's going to step up and that's what's going to be in control. And our life is going to reflect that. But if we begin to feed our spirit and we begin to press in for more of God and we begin to go after the things of God, begin to spend time in the Word of God, stay connected to the vine, which is Jesus, then our spirit man is what's going to become strong and our spirit man is going to step up and we're going to begin to see that fruit develop and grow and we're going to have a life that reflects the fruit revealed. Fruit revealed or flesh exposed. Why don't y'all stand with me this morning? Fruit revealed or flesh exposed. I say as a church family, let's choose together that fruit revealed. Let's choose fruit revealed. Just pray with me. Father, I thank you for your word today. God, I thank you that you write it on the tablet of every heart. I thank you for your goodness, God. I thank you that you place within us a strong desire to have the fruit be revealed, to develop that fruit in our lives, God, that we can live a life that's pleasing in your sight. Father, we ask you for it. We love you. I pray you touch every heart in this room today, God. Touch every heart in this room today, God. Touch every heart in this room today, God. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.